Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got a great episode for you today. Probably not going to be a super long episode. I only have two topics to talk about, not including the movie news that I start off with. But I'm going to be talking about that new She-Hulk Attorney at Law trailer, the first official trailer for the show coming out on Disney Plus in August. And then I'm going to be reviewing the new Disney Plus original film, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. So two really great things to talk about today. Probably going to be a pretty lengthy discussion for both. And I'm going to be starting off with movie news, but just wanted to say right off the bat, in the last episode I was saying that I was going to watch Men and then Downton Abbey A New Era this week. I decided to skip out on both of those because I wasn't particularly interested in either of them. So definitely a shorter episode for you guys today, not as much to talk about. Sorry about that. But I should be back next week with some bangers for sure. Top Gun's coming out. I'm going to be seeing that 2 days early. And then Bob's Burgers, the movie. I'm also going to be reviewing the first season of Bob's Burgers because I wanted to watch that before I watched the movie. And then I'm pretty sure the first episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi comes out next week, too. So definitely going to be a lot to talk about. So look out for all that stuff coming out next week. If you want to head over to my YouTube channel, I would really recommend you do. Really need to get some more subscribers over there. If I can get 100, then I can make a custom URL, and then I can say, and not have to say this. Go over to my Instagram, at PopCulturePodcast. The link in the bio should take you to my website, where it'll take you over to my YouTube channel. And also where to find the podcast. So, if I get 100 subscribers over there, I can just say, oh, yeah, just go to youtube.com/popculturepodcast or whatever it'll end up being. I'm sure that's already taken. But, yeah, please go subscribe over there and watch all the videos and shit. I would really appreciate it. But, before I get into anything in this episode, I would like to thank today's sponsors. I want to thank Audible for sponsoring this review. And if you don't know, Audible is the best platform out there when it comes to audiobooks, podcasts, guided meditation, and even sleep sounds. Got all sorts of stuff on their platform. And right now, if you go to audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which allows you to get 1 credit or 2 credits for Prime members. Good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. And they also offer the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed. And also, at the end of your trial, a friendly email reminder before your trial ends. And, it's a really great service. I don't get a chance to listen to too many audiobooks, but I do love to listen to podcasts. I also really love the sleep sounds. I use them every single night, so I highly recommend you check out this service. It's fantastic, and once again, that link is audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the review.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
First piece of news here comes from comicbook.com, and their headline is Riverdale to end with season 7. They go on to say here, the CW revealed its 2022 to 2023 broadcast schedule today, including the news that Riverdale will end after its 7th season, which will debut at mid-season. The long-running series, based on characters from Archie Comics but twisted through a Twin Peaks lens, debuted in 2017 to solid ratings but became a sensation when it dropped on Netflix and became the company's most-watched series across digital platforms. It has remained popular, but lost some of its luster in recent years. Based on characters who have been in high school for more than 50 years, Riverdale has struggled to adjust to the realities of having actors who, well, age. In Season 5, the show jumped forward in time, bringing the characters more in line with the ages of the actors who actually portrayed them, or played them, rather. Unfortunately, the shakeup this gave the status quo left some fans cold. I'm just going to stop there. The main thing to get out of this is that Riverdale is going to end after season 7. which I will be honest, I did watch Riverdale at one point. I watched maybe the first season and maybe half of the second season or so. And from what I hear, it just got fucking bananas. You know, I like some of the cast members for the most part, but it's definitely not my type of show. A lot of the CW shows tend to kind of lack a little bit in quality. And I've tried to watch a lot of shows in the past from CW, mainly the Arrowverse shows, like the DC shows, Flash, Arrow, all that kind of stuff. I think out of all of them, I got the furthest in Arrow, I'm pretty sure. But I fell off of those a long time ago, and I fell off of Riverdale for a long time ago. But I would like to know, hit me up on Instagram, at PopCulturePodcast, and let me know, are you still watching Riverdale? I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that still are. There's like podcasts about it and stuff like that. So I wonder what they're going to do after the show ends. But I mean, I just heard it got really crazy. I mean, it's one of those teen drama shows, and it goes so far from the original source material. So, I mean, it's not for me, but it's definitely for some people out there. So that's why I wanted to mention it in today's news segment. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that are disappointed out there, and then there's a lot of people that probably don't give a shit like me. Actually, I think I do give a shit. I think I'm happy about this, even though it doesn't affect me in any way. But, yeah, that's all I have for that. Now on to the next piece of news. Next piece of news here comes from The Direct, and their headline is Thor: Love and Thunder's next trailer release date reportedly revealed. They go on to say here the trailer release date gave Thor: Love and Thunder the shortest promotional window for any movie in MCU history, although it gave fans an exciting look at what's in store for the former Asgardian King. Teasing his adventures with the Guardians of the Galaxy while providing the first look at Natalie Portman as the Mighty Thor, that trailer gave fans plenty to chew on with just under 90 seconds of footage. Now that Thor 4 is less than 50 days away, less than 50 days, from its theatrical debut, anticipation is building with regard to a second trailer, to when a second trailer will go public and what it could add to the sequel's promo tour. Now, while there are no specifics on what fans will see in the new look, a recent rumor is now hinting at when the world will see it in full. And they go on to say here, insider Daniel Richman shared on his Patreon account, that Marvel Studios plans to drop a second trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder on Monday, May 23rd. So that's, as of recording this, it's going to be in like 2 days. So yeah, that's pretty great. This comes just over a month after Thor 4's first trailer came out online and under 2 months before the July 8th release. So yeah, hopefully we will be getting a second trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder on Monday. And if we do, I will definitely be talking about it on the podcast, as long as it actually adds something worthy to talk about. Ha, worthy. Get it, Thor. But yeah, what do you think about this? That we're possibly going to be getting the second trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder on Monday, May 23rd. I am very excited if this rumor is true. We shall see. There's been a lot of false rumors out there before. But who knows? Who knows? On to the next piece of news. This next piece of news here comes from Giant Freaking Robot. And if it's true, this is crazy. The headline here is Margot Robbie is taking over another multi-million dollar franchise. They go on to say here, Warner Bros. Must really love Margot Robbie because the studio is once again calling on the Oscar-nominated actress to head up one of their blockbuster franchises. The Harley Quinn actress will star in and produce a reboot of the Ocean's 11 film series, with hopes that production can begin in the spring of 2023. Although the studio has not officially greenlit the project, it is in active development, and Jay Roach, the Austin Powers from the Austin Powers series, is on board to direct, according to The Hollywood Reporter. When I read this, for some reason, I thought she was going to be in Austin Powers reboot. It's not as cool, but still, she's going to be in a reboot of Ocean's 11, which I think I've seen the first Ocean's 11, and then I've seen the one with all females, Ocean's 8. And I liked both of those movies. I don't think I've seen Ocean's 12, but if Margot Robbie is attached to any movie, honestly, there's a good chance I'm probably going to see it. You know, we got that Barbie movie coming up with her in there with Ryan Gosling as Ken. Very intrigued about that one. But, yeah, it should be interesting to see. I mean, is this going to be a continuation or is it going to be a complete reboot? Because it says reboot in the article, but I could easily see them doing a continuation of what they've already done. I really need to watch Ocean's 12 now. I think there's an Ocean's 13 too. Now that I'm thinking about it, I could be wrong. But yeah, still pretty cool news there. It'd be even cooler if they said they were making an Austin Powers reboot, but you know, at the same time, a lot of people probably wouldn't want anybody to touch that series, and I don't blame them. I mean, I don't love those movies by any means. I don't quite see the hype around them, but yeah, what do you think about this news that Margot Robbie is going to be starring in a reboot of Ocean's 11? And she's also going to produce it as well. So pretty interesting there. It seems like she would be really interested in the project if she signed on to produce as well. Yeah, on to the next piece of news. Next piece of news here comes from Inside the Magic, and their headline is Mandalorian Creator Launches Jurassic Park Project. And most of this article is just filler talking about Mandalorian. I don't need to do that. That is just a waste of time. So let me skip to this. Now Favreau, Jon Favreau, is trying his hand at an entirely new world, the prehistoric Earth. The Marvel alum is releasing a detailed Jurassic Park-like docuseries, Prehistoric Planet, alongside co-executive producer Mike Gunton. One recent article about the Apple TV Plus Dinosaur Project notes, described as a one-of-a-kind immersive experience, Prehistoric Planet combines award-winning wildlife filmmaking, the latest paleontology, I'm probably saying that wrong, learnings, and state-of-the-art technology to unveil the breathtaking habitats and inhabitants of ancient Earth. The series explores little known and surprising facts about dinosaur life, from the parenting techniques of Tyrannosaurus Rex to the mysterious depths of the oceans and the deadly dangers in the sky. And there's also a trailer here. I'm not going to watch it right now, obviously, but I think I've seen the trailer for it on like YouTube or something like that. This show looks fucking incredible. The fact that we're getting like a Planet Earth type show, but about dinosaurs, and it looks so realistic, and we're going to get to learn about all this shit. I mean, it's not necessarily Jurassic Park. They said Jurassic Park-like. But this sounds so fascinating to me. I'm probably going to have to download Apple TV Plus just to watch this. I know there's so many things on there I need to watch. There's a lot of good stuff from what I hear. But out of all the streaming services, it's just the one that doesn't seem the most, I don't know, the strongest to me out of all of them. I think Disney Plus is probably killing it for me right now. Yeah, Disney Plus, I think, might be my favorite one next to Hulu, maybe. I mean, they're both pretty good and owned by the same company, but what do you think about this news that Jon Favreau is directing a docuseries in the style of, like, Planet Earth and almost like Jurassic Park? It's going to be a docuseries about dinosaurs where it looks realistic and it's like Animal Planet almost. That sounds fucking cool to me. I don't know if it sounds cool to you, but it sounds cool to me. But that's all I have to say about that. Let's get on to the last piece of news. Last piece of news here is another article from Giant Freakin' Robot. And their headline is, New Rick and Morty spinoff series actually happening. And this is something I was talking to somebody about the other day, and I just didn't look into it. But this is crazy. I'm into this. This sounds interesting. Adult Swim has given a series order to Rick and Morty, the anime. The brand new 10-episode adventure is currently in production and is set to debut on the adult-oriented nighttime programming block of Cartoon Network and HBO Max. The spinoff will serve as a standalone series while adapting the themes and elements, or not elements, but events, of the critically acclaimed flagship show. Rick and Morty the anime will be helmed by Takashi Sano, probably saying that wrong, of Tower of God fame. Never heard of it, to be honest. But the director is no stranger to the animated sitcom, as he previously worked on the shorts Rick and Morty versus Genocider and Summer Meets God, Rick and Morty Meets Evil. Haven't heard of that. I guess I'm kind of lacking when it comes to Rick and Morty. I haven't finished the newest season yet. and that's been out for a while. But the style of these anime specials was a hit with fans and has raked in over 10 million combined views across the network's digital platforms. And speaking about the Rick and Morty spinoff via TV Line, Sano said the multiverse straddling exploits of Rick and the gang pose challenges to the family bond, but they always rise to the occasion. It's such a life-affirming sight, and Jerry is no exception, the director said. He added that he feels honored to have the chance to tell a new story about this quirky, amazing family, and hopes fans of the series will enjoy their adventures. This is definitely a really interesting idea for this show. Something a little bit similar that The Boys recently did with their spinoff animated series, The Boys Diabolical. And each episode there kind of has somewhat different animation styles, different stories. And sounds like they might be doing something a little bit similar here with Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty is already an animated property, but doing it in a different style of animation, I think, is something really interesting to do. You know, something that I'm thinking of right now is the new Chip and Dale movie, where they introduce a lot of different animation styles. And when people think of animation, they just think of animation most of the time, but they don't think about all the different styles of animation that you can do. You can do 2D, you can do 3D, you can do claymation, you can do puppetry. Well, puppetry isn't really animation, I guess. You can do anime. There's all different styles of animation you can do, and I think it's cool that they're applying this to Rick and Morty, because I feel like it's the perfect show to do that for. You know, even like Doctor Who, I don't know if they made a Doctor Who anime, but that would be a really perfect one too. And Rick and Morty is a lot like Doctor Who in a way, even though theme songs are pretty similar. But the real inspiration for Rick and Morty was Back to the Future, if you don't know that. But yeah, like I said, I need to finish that latest season that's out. I think it's like season 5. Still haven't gotten through all of it, maybe watched like the first 3 episodes, but yeah, Rick and Morty the anime is definitely something I'm going to have to check out, most likely on HBO Max, seeing as I don't have cable, but I guess I could possibly watch it next day on Hulu if Rick and Morty is still doing that on Hulu. Pretty sure they're still on Hulu, 99.9% sure. But yeah, what do you think about this Rick and Morty anime spinoff that they're doing? Definitely sounds like an interesting idea, a different way to take the show, a new fresh idea that can keep the show fresh in general. Even though it is a spinoff and not connected to the main show, it still brings more attention to the show and, I don't know, kind of rejuvenates things and makes it feel fresh. So I like this idea. I'm not necessarily a diehard fan of anime, but I've definitely seen some anime. One Punch Man I really like. I also really like Death Note. Haven't gotten too far into any anime in particular, but Cowboy Bebop I also kind of liked. You know, Dragon Ball, pretty great. A lot of really great different styles of animation, and I think anime is the perfect one to do for a Rick and Morty spinoff. So, yeah, like I said, that's the last piece of news. So, let's talk about that She-Hulk trailer. All right, so the first official trailer for She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. And definitely an interesting trailer, very much a different vibe from a lot of the other Marvel movies and shows. Looks like it's going to be more of a comedy. I mean, a lot of the Marvel movies are funny in general, like Thor Ragnarok, that's straight up a comedy. But with this, it's like one of your more modern comedies, like maybe Sex and the City or something like that. I could be off because I never really watched these kinds of shows, but with this one, obviously it's Marvel, so I'm going to be watching it. Tatiana Maslany, I believe her name is, from Orphan Black, I am very excited to see in this show. Orphan Black is a show that I liked, but never finished, and I haven't gone back to it. Honestly, I don't even know if it's still on Netflix the way it used to be, but it is a BBC show, so it's like a British show, and, yeah, she was great in that, and then also Jamil, I'm probably saying her name wrong, who played Tahani in The Good Place, is going to be in this show as, Titania, I believe is her name. Yeah, so I'm excited to see her in that as well. I don't think I've watched her in anything other than The Good Place. I could be wrong, but loved her on that show, so I'm excited to see her on this one. But I do have the trailer pulled up here, so I'm just going to kind of go shot by shot. I mean, Based on the initial shot of this trailer, it looks like it's going to be taking place in LA, which is different from a lot of other Marvel shows and movies. Like, I feel like we've had a couple movies in the Marvel Universe that have been in LA, but maybe not focused on LA. I'm pretty sure, I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure Captain Marvel, that was LA. I'm like 99.9% sure, but I, again, could be wrong. And then like an Iron Man, I feel like there were probably a few scenes where he was in LA. I think his main like house that he lived in throughout the three Iron Man films is in Miami, pretty sure. That's where it's supposed to be, at least. But I feel like we were in California for a bit with Iron Man. But yeah, we don't see a whole lot of LA in the Marvel Universe, so this should be kind of interesting here. And looks like we have the soldiers with some sort of weapon, and based on the new Rockstars video I watched of the breakdown, these are similar to the weapons that they used on the Hulk in the Incredible Hulk with, I always forget his name, Edward Norton. That's what Thunderbolt Ross used against him to try to bring him down. And it's since been seen also in Captain America Civil War. War Machine has it on his suit. And also in Spider-Man Far From Home, the drone devices had that on there. And then I forget exactly where, but in some movie you can see like Stark schematics of this weapon, like blueprints of it. I think that might be in The Incredible Hulk. But yeah, got some soldiers most likely going after, Jennifer Walters as She-Hulk. yeah, let me see here. Looks like there's some sort of convention or something like that that's being attacked. At first, when I first saw this, I thought it was like a flashback to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because it had a pretty similar scene in the last episode. But this is most likely the events that Jennifer Walters is attending when you see her getting out of that car in the dress. But let me go back a little bit. I went too far. We see basically a car accident. The car's like rolling over. It goes off a cliff, essentially, or just a rather big hill. And I'm wondering if this is the kind of origin of how Jennifer Walters gets her powers. Because in the comic books, she gets in a car crash and she ends up getting a blood transfusion from her cousin, Bruce Banner, who obviously is the Hulk. And so that's what gives her that, I guess in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it was supposed to be some sort of form of the Super Soldier Serum, pretty sure. I don't know if that's exactly how it is in the comic books. I think so, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, she basically has the similar powers of the Hulk. Like, she transforms when she's angry or scared or whatever. But yeah, the difference here is like the Hulk in this show, I don't know, because we saw him in, spoiler alert for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, but we saw him at the end in a hologram where he was back to being just normal Bruce. He still had the sling on his arm from, you know, him snapping his fingers in Endgame, but he was back to being in his human form. And now in this show, like in the first teaser trailer, we saw a shot of Jennifer Walters standing next to Bruce Banner. And it looks like some sort of ad for her, for her practice, because she's a lawyer. And she's like, "You won't like me when I'm angry." And he's sitting there in his human form. But in this trailer, we don't see any of Bruce's human form. We just see him as Professor Hulk. So I'm wondering, like, if he's going to be able to switch back and forth between the two. I really don't know. I'm really curious to see how they'll explain that. But Tim Roth is going to be back as Emil Blonsky / Abomination. And we see him, we see him in both forms as well. We see him in his human form and his Abomination form. Both in that cell that we saw through the portal that Wong opened in Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So definitely looking forward to getting some explanation on what's going on and who's behind it all. Maybe it's S.W.O.R.D., maybe it's, what's the name of that? Department of Damage Control? I'm wondering if that's who the dude is like, hey, we're trying to have this separate law division for superheroes and stuff like that, and supervillains, superpowered people, that he wants Jennifer Walters to come on and do. But could be S.W.O.R.D., could be Department of Damage Control, or it could just be a completely separate thing. Who knows? Maybe it could just be the law firm that she works for. But there's definitely opportunities for a certain lawyer to show up in this show, which is Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil, a.k.a. Charlie Cox. I think this would be the perfect opportunity to bring his character into the Disney Plus world. Spoiler alert for Hawkeye, if you can see that poster there. But we got Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. Kingpin, in the last episode of Hawkeye. And also, spoiler alert for No Way Home, but Matt Murdock showed up in No Way Home to help Peter out with some legal assistance. And yeah, it'd be really cool if he showed up here again. It would be the perfect show slash just project in general for him to show up in. There have been talks that he's going to get his own show on Disney Plus, which hopefully that happens. I don't know. It'd be cooler to see a movie, I think, but I'm cool with Disney Plus as well, because they already explored the TV show, you know, aspect of that. So it'd be kind of cool to see Charlie Cox on the big screen, but I'll take what I can get. But yeah, let's keep going with this trailer here. And this shot here, obviously you're not watching along with me. By the way, I'm not doing reactions and stuff like that, because that's a whole other ball game that I'm not ready to get into yet, but this is just kind of like a play-by-play for, you know, this trailer. But we saw this shot in the teaser of Jennifer Walters jumping down onto the ground in her her She-Hulk form. And it looks like she has her classic suit from the comics, and it looks really good. I mean, we only see the back of her, but I love the colors. It kind of reminds me of the suit that Hulk was wearing in Endgame, and like all the promotional stuff. And I think towards the end of the movie, he might have been wearing that too. Can't remember. But yeah, some of this might be hard to kind of talk about without actually hearing what they're saying. But for the most part, like, I kind of remember what the important stuff was. In the background here, behind this dude with the basket, I see on the TV, I don't know if this is like the news station, like a news station logo or something like that. It kind of looks like it could be, but it's in the style of the original She-Hulk logo for the show. So that's kind of neat. Let's keep going here. Yeah, we got this crazy fucking facility that I don't even know what it's supposed to be, but I'm guessing this is where Emil Blonsky is being held, and it looks like this is where Jennifer Walters is going to work. So maybe it could end up being, oh man, there's some sort of marking on Tim Roth's shirt, but I can't quite make it out. But we see Tim Roth in his, Emil Blonsky in his human form in his cell, which looks like he's meeting Jennifer Walters for the first time. Then we're on some sort of tropical beach with Professor Hulk and Jennifer Walters in her human form. And Hulk is just trying to give her the rundown, tell her how things work when, you know, you have this kind of blood inside of you that makes you turn into a green monster. Trying to teach her how to control it a little more and what to expect. Let me see here. And the thing that confuses me a little bit is, like, so she can just choose to be in her Hulk form without getting upset, like, because we see her in the dress coming out of that car at the gala or whatever, and you know, out with friends and stuff like that, and out on dates we see her in her Hulk form. So I'm like, I guess she can control it in a way. For a while there, it seemed like Bruce Banner in the Marvel movies could control it, like that line in the first Avengers where he's like, that's my secret, Cap, I'm always angry. So maybe it's something like that, I don't know. But we get a shot here of Jennifer Walters in some sort of cell, and Bruce is trying to activate her powers. There's these little, what do you call them, almost like saw blades
on a wall just coming closer to her. We see a lot of that kind of stuff. I mean, like, Toy Story 2 has done it with the, like, spikes on the wall coming after Buzz Lightyear. I mean, plenty of movies have done this. It's like a classic booby trap in a movie. But, yeah, with the more, you know, mechanical aspect of it. But, yeah, Jennifer Walters turning into her She-Hulk form here. I love this shot of Bruce being like, yeah, from outside the glass, and then she walks over the glass, just like breaks the door. He's like, no. I'm just like, yep, that's funny. Kind of had it coming though. Man, August 17th is when this show comes out. Yeah, I mean, we just see her, maybe when it comes to her being like anxious and stuff like that too, like at work, you know, if people are really getting on her about stuff, or, you know, if people are trying to be like, oh, you're the She-Hulk, I want to get all in your business and freak you out. Maybe that could activate it, because it looks like she's wearing the She-Hulk stuff, but like her attorney suit too. So maybe like she transformed during work. Got the news outside of her apartment. You'll like her when she's angry. Oh God, that's so terrible. You'll like her when she's angry. Fuck that. Seriously, that's so fucking corny. But yeah, here's the shot of her coming out of the car. And it looks like she's in her She-Hulk form. It looks like she has a green tint to her. But based on the lighting, maybe some of the visual effects, it's not as prominent. So in a way, it kind of looks like just her. But pretty sure she's in her She-Hulk form there. But yeah, the whole line of your ass looks great. So many people are going to sexualize this shit, and, yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure, to see just all the simps. It's basically going to be like that one, giantess lady from the Resident Evil game that everybody was freaking out about. It's going to be like that, honestly. But yeah, I mean, like, a lot of the CGI on her just does not look completed, and hopefully they actually, like, work on it before the show comes out. I mean, they have a while. It comes out in August, so hopefully it changes by then and it gets better. There are some shots where it looks amazing, like that shot of her coming out of the car. I mean, it looks legit, dude. And, you know, other shots where the lighting isn't as on her face, it looks better. But, you know, the daytime shots are where it starts to look kind of eh. Oh, let me see here. There's some dude with, like, a helmet on, like a construction helmet, but it like lights up. I'm guessing that gives them some sort of power or something like that. There's also a character called Frogman, I think, that is supposed to show up in this show. There's a shot of him in here, and he looks ridiculous, but you know, we'll see what comes out of that. Shot of Bruce and Jennifer doing a huge Hulk jump. Pretty cool shit there. Probably like a training montage scene or something like that. But yeah, she says something about, oh, the superhero game isn't for me. It's for like rich people and adult orphans for some reason. I'm wondering if that's like a, well, it could be a few different characters in the MCU, honestly. A lot of the characters are orphans, like, you know, Wanda, you got Captain America, I guess technically is too, Iron Man. But the one I thought of first is Batman, because we got that, like, that Superman line in Eternal, so I'm just, like, looking for the next DC reference in a Marvel movie, or show for that matter. But yeah, like, the shots of her in the bar look pretty good, like, you know? And some shots look better than others, which makes me think they're not fully finished with it yet. And now we have this courtroom fight scene, and just from the back, it looks like that's Titania. And there's another shot where Titania looks like she's in a courtroom as well. So, yeah, it looks like she will be fighting Titania in a courtroom. That should be interesting. Got that shot of Frogman there. Hopefully that's the name. I think it is, which, terrible name, but still. This costume on Titania, I mean, it doesn't look horrible. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the character from the comics, just based off of the one picture I saw of Titania in the comics. It doesn't look completely like her costume, but I don't know. I can fuck with it. I mean, I'm excited to see Jamila Jamil in this show. Again, hopefully I'm saying her name right, but the more I look at it, like, I forgot she was in the show for a while, and so, like, when I was watching the breakdown, or what was it? I was watching the Double Toasted reaction to it, and they mentioned her name, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that was her. And then when I look at her more, I'm just like, yes, that is definitely Tahani from The Good Place. But I'm excited to see her show up in the show. Hopefully it's not just a one and done kind of thing. Because from what I hear, Titania is a pretty big rival to She-Hulk in the comics. So maybe that'll be the main villain for the show, or maybe there'll be a few different main villains. I mean, you do have Abomination in there, so I mean, you got to do something with that. But yeah, let me see what else we got here. Abomination, you know, transforming in his cell. Shot of Jennifer Walters jumping really high, and then you get the She-Hulk Attorney at Law title. Let me see what we got after this. Oh yeah, after this, after the title card, it's Jennifer Walters in her She-Hulk form scrolling through Match something. It's like Tinder. She says something about dating in her 30s and how sad it is. And yeah, she goes on a few dates with a couple guys, see a couple dudes. One of them looks really familiar for some reason. This dude with his arms up like that. I don't know what I've seen him in, but he looks fucking familiar. I have no idea. After I record this, I'm going to look it up and I'm going to be like, oh, it's that guy. But he looks really familiar for some reason. Man, he looks so familiar. But yeah, after that, it's like, man, this is the best date I've ever been on in a while. She's like, really? He's like, should we split some fries? She's like, let's order that to go. Obviously, they're going to go hook up. And then the last shot of the trailer is her carrying this dude and his legs bumping the lamp, which I thought was kind of funny. But yeah, overall, I don't quite know if I'm going to love this show yet. I mean, I thought I'd really like Moon Knight, and that was kind of disappointing. Hawkeye was a good show. Loki was a good show. I guess the only ones I don't really care for are The Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Moon Knight. I mean, I like certain aspects about them, but I also don't like a decent amount about them. And this show here, it might fall in that category of, like, I can understand what they're trying to do. I appreciate what they're trying to do, but it didn't quite do it for me. Based on a recent article I saw, seems like this first season, if they are going to make another season, is cut down by one episode. And from before that, the last thing I heard was that it's going to be like a 9-episode, 30-minute, 30-minute each kind of show. So, yeah, a lot longer than any of the other Marvel shows so far. I think that would be the longest one yet. So maybe it's only going to be 8 episodes. Maybe it's going to be 9. But either way, I'm pretty excited for it. I'm excited to see Hulk show up again. I'm excited to see Tim Roth as Emil Blonsky / Abomination to show up. I'm excited for Jamil as Titania. I'm excited for a lot about this show. The only thing that's really... There's only two things that are really turning me off from this show. One of them being the visual effects on She-Hulk, which, again, they have time to improve it. But the other thing is just the overall vibe of the show. I don't know if I fully understand what they're going for yet. I mean, I do, but I don't. And just, like, the aspects of her, you know, being the Hulk, being the She-Hulk, but also trying to, like, have a dating life and try to be normal. I feel like that's something we've seen quite a bit, but maybe they'll shake it up and do something different from what we have seen before. So, I mean, in a way, we kind of got that in No Way Home, having somebody who, you know, isn't the public eye, who just wants to have a normal life. I mean, we've seen that in a lot of movies and shows in general. So, hopefully they change it up and do something a little bit different. I mean, I'm interested. I'm intrigued. In terms of, like, these two shows, like Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk, I think I'm a little more excited for this one, but I'm also very excited for Ms. Marvel, so I don't know. Both of them should be interesting. Hopefully they're both good, and hopefully they improve on the CGI until this comes out. So yeah, comment down below, if you're watching on YouTube, that is, what you thought of this first trailer for She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. Let me know if you're willing to watch it or if you're gonna skip it. I mean, if you're a Marvel fan and you're watching this, you're most likely going to watch it. Most Marvel fans watch every Marvel movie. You know, there's some out there that are slacking for sure. But I think a lot of people will check this out, and a lot of people are interested. And also a lot of men are going to be interested in this because it's going to awaken some weird shit in them. But yeah, I'm excited for it. So yeah, comment down below if you're excited for it the way I am, or if you just don't care. Yeah, I'd like to know what you think. But that's all I got for this trailer for She-Hulk. So if you're listening on the podcast, onto my reviews, and if you're watching on YouTube, leave a like, subscribe. I will see you in the next one. All right, so 2022's Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is available now on Disney Plus to stream. It's a Disney Plus original film, and it stars Andy Samberg as Dale and John Mulaney as Chip. Dale being the one with the red Hawaiian shirt and the yellow floral design, and Chip being the one with the fedora and the jacket. Also, another key identifier is Dale has a red nose, Chip has a black nose. But oftentimes when you see them in the Mickey Mouse cartoons and the various Disney cartoons, their voices are very sped up and high-pitched, so you can't really tell what they're saying, but completely different here, you can tell what they're saying. And the funny thing that they do here is Rescue Rangers was actually a show in this universe, and these are the actors. So all these animated characters are living amongst humans. It's a live-action animation hybrid, and they do all sorts of different animation styles in here. They have CGI, which you can see in the trailer. They did that with Dale's character. He got the CGI treatment, basically plastic surgery. We also have the 2D animation with Chip and quite a few other characters. There's even a sock puppet at one point. And then there's Muppet-like characters. There's not Muppets specifically, like Kermit or Miss Piggy, but there are characters in the style of the Muppets. One particularly being a cheese dealer, which I'll get into in a minute. But, yeah, what other ones? I think I'm missing something, but I'm not 100% sure. Oh, yeah, and Claymation as well, with the character, what's his name? Captain Putty, played by J.K. Simmons, the kind of Gumby-looking character. Yeah, J.K. Simmons, you know, he always kills it, but this film is directed by Akiva Schaffer, which is actually one of the members of The Lonely Island, which, if you don't know, The Lonely Island consists of Akiva Schaffer. It also has Andy Samberg, and then one other person that I cannot remember at the moment, but let me look it up. Akiva Schaffer also, I believe, directed Popstar Never Stop Never Stopping, which is a Lonely Island film. Was also a writer on the Lego Movie, Saturday Night Live. He's done a lot of great stuff, that's for sure. He's a really funny dude. And then I think Jorma Taccone is the other member of the Lonely Island. But started off as like an SNL skit. I believe the first skit they did was Dick in the Box. Which, by the way, this review will not be for kids because there's a lot of adult humor in here that I want to touch on. But I think Dick in the Box was the first like Lonely Island skit. And I think that had Justin Timberlake in there. Another popular one was YOLO with Adam Levine, which I think was on SNL, but I could be wrong. Also in the cast here, we have Kiki Layne as Ellie, which is one of the detectives on the case in this film, which I'll also get into in a minute. We have Will Arnett as Sweet Pete, which if you watch the trailers, it's the more middle-aged, fatter, more grown-up version of Peter Pan. We also have Eric Bana, the Hulk, as Monterey Jack, one of the original characters from Rescue Rangers. I was surprised to see that it was him when I looked it up. But we also have Dennis Haysbert as Zipper. You might know him as the Allstate guy. But Zipper is another one of those characters from the original Rescue Rangers show. Like I said before, J.K. Simmons is Captain Putty. And then Sweet Pete, he kind of has a couple henchmen. So we have Seth Rogen as Bob the Warrior Viking, and Devon McDonald as Jimmy the Polar Bear, which I still can't tell if that's supposed to be like the Coca-Cola Bear or something like that. But yeah, there's another really great character in here that I want to talk about, but I can't talk about that until the spoiler discussion, which shouldn't be too long because I really don't have a whole lot to say about it. But I forgot to mention the writers here. There's Dan Greger and Doug Mand. Let me see if I recognize them from anything.
Dan Greger has worked on How I Met Your Mother, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Anything else I recognize? Oh, Doolittle. Oh, great. Yeah, nothing that really pops out to me that I recognize, but a few things there. Comedy writer. Then Doug Mann also worked on Doolittle, oh god, as well as How I Met Your Mother. Looks like he's worked on a lot of the stuff that the other guy has done as well, so it looks like they're kind of a duo there. But yeah, really great voice cast here. I think John Mulaney and Andy Samberg have both done really great voices in movies before. Andy Samberg was Johnny in the Hotel Transylvania movies. I don't really care for those too much. The first one's pretty good, but yeah, he plays that character in there. And then John Mulaney, he voices a character in Big Mouth on Netflix, as well as he was Spider-Ham in the Into the Spider-Verse. So yeah, both of them have done voice acting before. A lot of the actors in here have done voice acting before, I believe. You know, Keegan-Michael Key is in this. Tim Robinson is in this. I'm pretty sure they've all done some form of voice work. Kiva Schaefer has a little cameo in here, the director himself, as the Rescue Rangers director. But if you don't know what this is about and you haven't watched any of the trailers, let me give you the synopsis here. 30 years after their popular television show ended, Chipmunks Chip and Dale live very different lives. When a cast member from the original series mysteriously disappears, the pair must reunite to save their friend. And essentially what happens in here, and it's a kid's movie, so like, you know, minor spoilers ahead, but Sweet Pete kind of has this, you know, business going on where he's somewhat of a cheese dealer, which in this, you know, realm, in this universe where these animated characters and humans live side by side, that's essentially their drug. Like, it's basically a crack house when you see that shit, and it's fucking hilarious. And that Muppet type character I was talking about, Chip and Dale were going off to him being like, hey, you got any of that stinky cheese? And he starts off being like, oh, we got the Monterey, we got the Brie, we got, you know, all sorts of different cheeses. And he has like an accent going on. But as soon as he like, Chip is like, you got any of that stinky cheese? He's like, his eyebrows go from this to like, and he's like, you guys cops. And I was like, that's the funniest fucking. And the scene that follows that, just them going into this dungeon essentially with these rats just overdosing on cheese, is, sorry, my phone's on low battery mode or whatever. But yeah, yeah, you go into this dungeon, there's just rats like overdosing on cheese and stuff. And I'm like, this is a crack house right now in a kid's movie. I mean, it's clever the way they do it. Kids won't pick up on it most likely, depending on their age. But they do some really adult jokes in here. And that's just one of them that really sticks out to me. But yeah, Sweet Pete, he has this like movie bootlegging type of business going on. And pretty much any characters that cross him, Flounder being one of them, you kind of see that in the trailer, they get the bootleg treatment, I guess, where their character or themselves, they get changed physically to look different so they can star in the bootleg films. Yeah, it's a little fucked up at times for sure. I think like the polar bear in here erased his mouth so like he couldn't talk. And they just have this machine that just changes them into crazy shit. There's actually a point in this film where Chip and Dale get stuck in that. And you see a bunch of different possible characters. And there's like a little Rick and Morty cameo. A little Ren and Stimpy. A little bit of a Marvel action in there with Deadpool. And, well, also Batman. He's not Marvel. But speaking of Batman. This movie definitely pokes fun at like Warner Brothers. But not only Warner Brothers, but themselves too. They poke fun at everything. The thing that this movie does better than Space Jam: A New Legacy is they take their existing, like, their existing properties and stuff and kind of make fun of it and put a twist on it. But as opposed to Space Jam 2, they were just bringing in these characters for small cameos and being like, hey, here's all the stuff we own. So this movie works a lot better than Space Jam: A New Legacy. Is it going to be one of my favorite movies of the year? Possibly. I don't know. I already want to watch it again. It's really funny. Like I said, a lot of adult humor in there that,
you know, parents watching this will catch on to and will make them enjoy the movie just as much as their kids. Is it appropriate for kids? Absolutely. You're fine. You're good. I've seen much worse that's supposed to be for kids, so you're fine. This will not scar them by any means, except there's a couple parts in there that just might, and I'll get into that in my spoiler discussion. What else can I say about this film? I mean, I just had a lot of fun with it, with all the different animation styles. You know, Dale gets the CGI treatment, so you have a 2D character and you have a 3D character. I don't know, just a lot of fun, creative things that they do in this film. It's a really funny film. This feels like, and I never watched the Happy Time Murders, but it feels like that, but like for kids. And honestly, just thinking about it, I was like, I kind of want to see a version of this that's like rated R. I really do. Just all these Disney characters living in the same world together, and it's just fucking chaos. I mean, it already kind of is, but even more so, I would like to see a rated R cut of this, even though that's definitely not going to happen. But yeah, overall, like, the voice casting is really great. Just the direction and the writing in general I thought was pretty good. Some of the story aspects kind of fell apart a little bit for me. Like, Sweet Pete. Couldn't he have just fucking changed himself? Like, physically just changed himself with the machine he has to, like, stay young and stuff? Like, yeah. I don't know. If you watch the movie, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, you might be a little bit confused. But yeah, it is what it is. I'm going to give this movie an 8.5 out of 10. No, 8 out of 10 feels more right to me. I mean, I really loved it. I'm definitely going to be watching it again. Will it end up on my top 10 favorite movies of this year? There's a really good chance. But I kind of want to talk about some of the cameos real quick. And nothing like super huge or groundbreaking. There's two main huge cameos in here that I'm not going to break down. I mean, there's plenty in here that I could break down, but there's a lot that I missed for sure. And I'm definitely going to be watching some Easter egg videos after I record this. But Baloo is one of them from Jungle Book. You got Roger Rabbit, which we saw in the trailers. They're like, we're dancing the Roger Rabbit with Roger Rabbit. Lumiere is in here from Beauty and the Beast. Who else was in here? I mean, Flounder, like I said before. Yeah, I can't think of anybody else. But one thing with Seth Rogen's character here, you know, that you saw that scene in the trailers where him and Pumbaa, you know, saw each other, his version of Pumbaa from the live-action movie. I thought that was kind of funny. They also bring in some other Seth Rogen characters for that scene, which I thought was hilarious. But yeah, with him, you can tell, like, the CGI just looks weird on him. It's the Uncanny Valley kind of stuff. And they poke fun of that at that in the movie. That's a whole other, like, animation style that they put into this film that I completely forgot to talk about. Just, like, the whole, they literally have just, like, a section of the city where all these characters live. And they call it the Uncanny Valley, which I think is hilarious. Because I was just talking about it in my She-Hulk review that, you know, the big thing with her character right now in the design is the Uncanny Valley. It just, something doesn't look right. So that's definitely how Seth Rogen's character is in the film. And they poke fun of at that. And it's done intentionally. And at one point, he even said, one of the characters, I think either Chip or Dale, they were like, he's got those Polar Express eyes. And I was like, oh my God. That movie's kind of horrifying in terms of the animation that they did for it. Because like a lot of the faces are sculpted after Tom Hanks. So you have, like, a man face put onto a kid's body, and I'm just like, ugh. But, yeah, look that shit up. A lot of different animation styles in here, a lot of cameos, a lot of Easter eggs, and so many funny things that I really don't want to give away. I've already kind of given away too much. But, yeah, that's about all I can say in terms of non-spoilers. Like I said, 8 out of 10. Really great movie. Highly recommend you guys check it out. And if you have kids, definitely let them watch it, because I think they'll enjoy it. If you're a diehard fan of Rescue Rangers, maybe this will put a bad taste in your mouth, but go into it knowing what it is, you know? If you're looking for a Rescue Rangers reboot in the sense that it's like the characters from the show and they're doing what the characters from the show do, it's not quite that. It's a different take on it. It's like, what if these cartoon characters were actors in those and they live in the real world? It's clever, and they have like even smaller houses for smaller cartoon characters and stuff. It's just really clever. I love it. Do a lot of creative things. The voice cast is great. The writing is pretty great. I had a lot of fun with this, so yeah, definitely check it out. But if you don't want to hear any spoilers, I suggest you click off the video. But before you do, I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast. Follow me there. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave a like, comment, and subscribe. If you're watching on the podcast, go ahead and click off. All the same things apply there, except for the like, comment, and subscribe thing. So yeah, let's talk about some spoilers. Not for long. I don't have a whole lot to say. If you don't want to hear any spoilers, you've been warned. So here we go. Two big cameos in this movie. Ugly Sonic, the original design of Sonic from that first trailer that everybody hated. Fucking hilarious. Although I almost would have preferred if Jason Mantzoukas, hopefully I'm saying his name right, would have played that character, because I feel like his voice would have gone perfectly with it. But it was Tim Robinson, which I also love. Tim Robinson, he's a great comedian. And if you haven't watched Something's Burning, or no, not Something's Burning. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. That's really funny. You should check that out. But also Paul Rudd has a cameo in here. He's signing things and talking about a movie called Aunt Man, where his power is just like being really charming to aunts, like aunts, like, you know, your mother's sister. I thought that was really funny. They even have like a little poster for it at the end. But yeah, that's really all I have to say in terms of non-spoilers. Like, there's not a whole lot in terms of non-spoilers that I had to say. I mean, it's not like a Marvel level event where it's like there's so many things to spoil. It's an animated movie, essentially. And so, like, there's only so much you can really spoil about that. But there are a lot of Easter eggs, a lot of cameos and stuff. So it's worth kind of talking about for a second for sure. The Ugly Sonic stuff, best part of the movie. I was not expecting that. And the fact that they did this in this film was very bold. And the fact that they got away with it, too, is insane to me. But, yeah, that's really all I have to say. Actually, let's talk about those posters real quick. Batman versus E.T., fucking hilarious. Where E.T. was like, E.T., forgive Batman or something like that. And Batman's just like, fine. That shit was hilarious. I'm surprised they got away with that. The Meryl Streep as Mr. Doubtfire, I think that's hilarious. I saw one for like Dog President 3 or something like that. And then the first one I saw was Fast and Furious Babies, which... there's even a ball-headed baby with, like, Vin Diesel's clothes on there. I was like, I need that movie. That's hilarious. There are some, like, characters on the Hollywood Walk of Fame that I saw. There were Chun-Li, Yogi Bear, and then Squidward. So I thought that was kind of funny, just, like, the attention to detail there. And then there's one other thing I was going to say. Oh, yeah, in the background, at first, there's a Gucci ad. And at first instinct, I was like, that's Dobby. Then I keep looking at it, I'm like, maybe that's just like a weird looking dog person. But the more I look at it and the more I hear other people talk about it, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Dobby. So the fact that they have these Warner Brothers references in here and kind of poking fun at them, I think it's hilarious. And also it's just perfect that it's Dobby, because the fact that like you have to give him clothes to be free and he's just sitting here, you know, wearing Gucci. So yeah, really great movie. Highly recommend it. That is the end of the video and the end of the podcast. So thank you guys for watching/listening. I will see you in the next one.